Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins, Walt Silva, and Dolly Howard. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Turn away from disaster, horizon side. Choose your heart as a master.
And welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. This is Nancy Hopkins speaking. With me is Dolly Howard and Walt Silva. And it is May 14th, 2019. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good evening, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
I know that you guys were talking about something because I had you on mute for a while there. what do you want to share with the audience? How are you doing? Talk to me.
I'm going to wait my turn if you want to talk about something else.
Oh, no, you're up to bat. You're up to bat.
Oh, okay. Well, I can read the...
I don't want you to start reading that yet.
Okay, well, that's why I said I'm willing to wait.
No, I did. I wanted to know. All right, so, okay. Dolly, how are you?
I listened to, what do you call it? What that show you and Derek do?
Shungite Show.
That guy was really interesting. And he seemed to get so freaking excited about everything Shungite. I was just sitting here laughing, and then the thought ran through my head, look how many Shungite freaks she's created out there. Crazy Shungite people.
Yeah,
they heard it here.
They used to be just me and Walt. Now there's a world full.
Yes. That's what I was laughing about.
Well, you know, think about it. Walt and I got together in September of 2014. That was our first show. It was in September of 2014. And by then, I had already been talking about Shungite since May of 2014. And I was given the, you know, here, get this Shungite stuff to the world. You know, oh, okay. And then I'm out there, and I put up the store. I had a few products, the pendants and some nuggets, and you know, basically the store was doing okay for as limited a supply of products. And you know, I mean, right away I said Gaia brings the customers and Shungite sells itself, and then I get Walt involved in it, and all of a sudden it goes to a different extreme. I mean, we're taking Shungite into powder and stickers and magnets, and you know, a whole slew of just different ways of harnessing the power of Shungite. And then Derek comes on board. He brings in even more energy and dynamics into it that gives us another version with bee products and the bees. And I mean, it's been a you know, someday somebody's going to write a story just about how this all came together. And now you got people like Jeff, you know, Momora, who was the man who was on with us on the Shungite show, who has taken Shungite, and so many healers, so many practitioners of the alternate reality of thinking of life and health and all of that, is pulling Shungite into their practices. So Shungite has been integrated into all sorts of modalities. You know, it's like Shungite hasn't met anything it doesn't like, right, Walt? Unless it's black.
Oh, yeah.
If it's dark, that just doesn't turn on. Oh, it ain't going to turn on. So it's been an extraordinary trip. And I last week, Walt, I was watching a video where Derek was going up to trees, and it was with Christopher Jacobs was with him. And they're filming it, you know, and he's putting the nuggets in the trees. And then Christopher was throwing amber, doing the same thing, but using amber also. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this thing, and all of a sudden I said, wow, we really did it. You know, we have gone worldwide with a Shungite message. And, you know, yeah, Shungite was known way before we ever got on the scene. But having the radio stations, being able to talk to people and give out the message of Shungite, it's astounding. It really, truly is astounding how many people now are on the Shungite mission. Of course, they're duplicating your stuff there, Mr. Walt. they're making...
With what?
Oh, they're making their own magnets. They're making their own stickers. Oh. They're taking, you know, and they... And
oh, so
they,
we're not making... So I've been officially fired from sticker making?
Well, no, because they're not making them right. Yeah, I mean, I they get into it and they're talking about the magnets, okay? I'll give you an example. And God bless people. I mean, this is how we started. We just, well, I wonder about this, right? But when we started, we said, we all wonder about this, and then we'd make them, and then we'd test them, and then we'd talk about them, and we'd make them, make another version, and we'd test it. And, you know, we went through so many months and months of some of these products, just, you know, Walt making them, sending them to me. No, Walt, it's not right. Let's try this. Back and forth and back and forth. And so now that we got all these people that are coming onto the scene, and what happens is they say, oh, I can make that. How do we make it? You know, it's like, and I'm going like, I said to this one woman, she said, if I, can I make my own, you know, Shungite magnets? And I said nothing at first, and then, you know, they kind of start calling me out. Can she make them? Can she make them? Well, yes, you can do anything you want with Shungite. Shungite's not mine. It's not Walt's. It's not Derek's or Dolly's even. Shungite is a gift to humanity. But I said, if you don't understand, if you don't know how to measure the North and South Pole, and you don't know why I've asked you that question, then no, you probably shouldn't be making Shungite magnets. Yeah, well. Okay, so then she figures out how to measure the North and South Pole, and I'm not sure she got it right at all. But
well, I posted pictures on the Facebook on the Shungite Reality page.
Yeah,
that lady in India who's making her own stuff, and I just posted a couple of pictures, and I said that the determination depends on what type of compass you're using. If you're using a ball compass, the North pole on the magnet will attract the letter N on the compass. But if you're using a dial compass or a disc compass, the north pole of the magnet will attract the black half of the needle, because the needle is black and red. So that depending on which compass you use, you have to read it correctly in order to make the correct determination as to which side is north and which side is south. That's all it is.
I am going to point out that when we started out, Walt did make that mistake. He read it wrong, remember?
Correct, yes.
But the thing of it was that we had the idea of the magnetic, but we didn't really appreciate the full complicated aspects of magnetic therapy. And so then when I started to look into it, I'm going like, I'm confused now. So I get with Walt, and Walt goes, oh, my God, we've got it the other way around. And I'm going like, we've got it the other way around. And but he had made the mistake in the reading. So he made two mistakes that made it absolutely perfect. But that was how we learned. You know, this is the thing, is that that we are guided, spiritually guided. And even when we make a mistake, they make a double mistake. They make us make a second mistake that reverses the first one. You know, so God bless you people, go for it, you know, but if you come back to us and you're asking us about the intricacies of how we do all this, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna, we've told you how to do it, we have not told you all of that goes into these things. And, you know, you can make these, and I also think, Walt, there was this one woman, I don't even remember what she was doing with the smart meters. And I thought, that's not working. Because you know what I went through when we were trying to get these smart meter things right.
Well, didn't yours get removed by the power company?
Not mine, but a lot of other people's did. Well, they disappeared. Oh, yeah, right. So, yeah, if, you know, try it. But, you know, as far as shungite, I don't think you can make a mistake with shungite. But with magnets, you have to be a little more knowledgeable about what you're doing, which is one of the reasons that we never pursued the magnetic bracelets that I wear. Because if you reverse it accidentally, you can cause problems the way that the magnet is working on your body. And I mm-hmm. just felt that without people having a full, firm understanding of what it is, that I didn't want to put anything out there that they could make a mistake with. So that's why we don't use it on our... Well, a lot of people do use it on their bodies. You know that, right? Well...
Oh, yeah, because I remember that lady that used... she used to be a radio host. I don't know when it used to be Wolf Spirit... No, not Wolf Spirit Radio. When Colleen was...
Haggy Shack.
Radio shows.
Deborah Rail? Are you talking?
It was a lady, a blonde hair lady. She was, I think her shows were about a lot of conspiracy stuff because her parents were members of the Cabal. So she grew up witnessing with these weird rituals and stuff like that. And I remember her posting a photo in Facebook and she took one of the diamond fridge magnets. That I don't know how she attached pendant wire to it, but she was wearing it as a pendant and she started describing all the interesting sensations in her body and stuff like that. But no, we've never endorsed, you know, wearing magnets because it's so easy to make a mistake.
Yep. But as far as as the mission we were given, or I was given, and then you came on board with, we've done it. You know, we're not quitting. You know, until everybody's got a piece of shungite in their hands, I am not going to quit. But we have made such an impact because we were able to come on radio and talk to people. And that's the key to, I swear, everything that's wrong with our society is that people don't talk to each other with an open and honest, in an open and honest way. You know, if you've got fears, you've got hesitations, you know, for heaven's sakes, talk to people about them, because everybody does. Somehow or another, we lost the ability to just sit down and talk. Before the television, don't you think, okay, so they're sitting around playing cards, but don't you think they get into some conversations other than, you know, which beer do you really like? I mean, when you were growing up, didn't you, Dolly, have conversations of the kind we have with your friends, or does nobody ever have these conversations?
We always talked. My cousins were always at our house, and my parents basically raised me, my sister, and most of my cousins. But so we always had somebody to talk to, and we would. My mom, my cousin and I, Nancy, she lived with us most of the time. We would be in bed next to each other, whispering so low that we couldn't hear each other. And my mom would yell in there, "You two be quiet and go to sleep." How the heck did she ever hear us talking? But we would talk through the night.
So she was telepathic, huh?
She had good hearing. She really did. She could hear things that you wouldn't think she could hear, but she did. So it was a good childhood because the only time we'd watch TV was a couple hours at night, and all the rest of the time I was cleaning the house, ironing, doing laundry, cooking supper, and cleaning the kitchen. And then when I had some free time, I was playing.
So you really are Cinderella.
Yeah, I am. Now, see, my sister used to be called that, but she didn't have to do any of that stuff. That's funny. But we'd play kick the can or hide and seek, and we had good times with the whole neighborhood kids. And our curfew was when the street lights come on, you come home.
Yep, that was the rule at our house, too.
It was wonderful. Boy, you can't do that these days with kids. Scared to death to have them walk to school.
Yeah, yeah. But we're changing that. We're going to go back. I'm not going to ask Walt about his childhood. You know, he gets really depressing. Poor kid.
I am in my childhood.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's just old childhood or present day childhood. You know, men don't grow up. You know that, right?
That's right. Men only grow tall. Boys. The little boys who grow tall.
How did you find that out? We thought we were keeping that as a secret, Walt.
Secret? Oh, God. People just lie to themselves. If you think you're a grown-up, ever since as far back as I can remember, the biggest horror that ever attacked me as a little kid was the thought of growing up, because I would see grown-ups around me, and I just saw hell on earth, and I thought to myself, I don't want to be a grown-up. Forget it. If this is life for a grown-up, I don't want to be a grown-up. So.
Oh, that's so funny, because when we were kids, it was like, again, you're living in this wonderful place, you know, with imagination and sandboxes and all this sort of thing. But everybody was waiting to grow up. When I grow up, when I get adult, you know, it was like everything was in the future as a grown up. And today on the Shungite show, I said, I think the key is to go back to being little kids again, you know. And be in the sandbox, to let our imagination go, you know, to know that we can do anything. I mean, a kid, they basically can do anything. If you don't tell them you shouldn't do that or you can't do that and put that thought in their mind, they do things that are very peculiar. I remember when I was in college, they were doing some kind of, I was in physical education. And Walt, your mic's open. And we were in this, like, I don't even know what it was, exercise or whatever. And this woman was telling stories about kids and how she said to her little kids, I'm talking, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, that kind of little kid. And she said to them in a phys ed class, put your feet over your head. That was the only thing she said. Get your feet over your head. Now, if it was any of us, we'd probably lay down on the floor and pick our feet up over our head, you know. She said that it was astounding. She said all of a sudden one kid did a flip, right? Stood there and jumped up and flipped over, and he'd never done it before. Another kid, it's a dancing thing where you go like a pinwheel, where you fall over on your hands and then you fall over on your feet like that. Another kid did that. She said all of a sudden this class went kind of crazy, and it, to her it was dangerous what they were doing, but it wasn't to them. You said put my feet over my head, and that's, you know, they use their imagination and they do these weird physical things that nobody taught them to do.
Cartwheel,
thank you.
Yeah.
Kids can, they really do think that they can do anything. They probably can. And somewhere along the line, people say, no, you can't. And when you become an adult, you say, well, no, I can't. And I think we have to get back into the sandbox. You know, forget this pretending we're adults. Goodness. Scary.
I gave that up a few years ago.
Well, that's one of the reasons I don't give people recipes. I get it that, you know, everybody has a different temperament and a different personality. But many times when people write to me asking, you know, things about the Shungite, and a lot of people want me to give them finished recipes, like making a cake. Use this much flour and this much sugar and mix it for so many minutes and then put it in the oven for 20 minutes. And I keep saying to them, you know, the way I've discovered most of the stuff I've discovered is by doing tests, by doing experiments. Like they have a question, what happens if I do it with the Shangat and I do this and I put it here and I do this? Try it. You're not going to kill yourself. Try it and see what you feel. See what results you get. Because it's not only you feeling things, but animals feel things, plants feel things. Plants are the first ones to react to the presence and influence of Shangat. You have tremendous accelerated growth. Not only accelerated growth, and bigger size of the plant, and also a very healthy plant. So do it. Do the test. Do the experiment. It's not going to cost you millions of dollars to try it and see what happens. And then you have your own validation about something, if it works or not. I could give you a finished recipe. Yes, do this, this, this. And what happens if I myself, my information is limited and I'm leaving something out, not necessarily deliberately, but because I'm not aware of something. And then you doing your experiment, now you become aware of something that we don't know. So, you know, that thing of wanting, you know, everything cut and dried and explained, to me it's like a limitation. You're limiting your own creativity and imagination.
And limiting Shangat because of that. Woman who is not in the United States, okay, she got a hold of a copper, like a water container, like a, you know, that you would take around with you, you know, same thing I probably got, but it's in copper. It comes from India, and it's pounded copper.
Okay. Yeah, it's very common there.
Yeah, so she gets one of these things, and she puts the water in it, and she puts the Shangat in it, and she's reporting, oh, I just certainly do not need coffee in the morning with this, you know? And, you know, as soon as she started talking about what she was getting off of this copper vessel, I was like all over it. I'm going, oh, I went and ordered one myself because I want to experience this, right? But it's like, I said, as soon as she said to me what she was doing, you know, it was like, I think I probably remoted it, but it was very clear to me. She's got a copper vessel, pure copper, pounded copper, okay, and in that she's got water. Well, right there, Walt, based on what I know about orgon, is you've got an extraordinary orgon accumulation source, right? It's going to just draw orgon into it, the water and the copper, I would think, correct?
In that case, yes, because you have the metal on the outside and you have water, which is a storage medium on the inside. If she had more layers of metal, then it would even draw more. The only drawback to any orgon concentrator is, I hope somebody remembered that detail in the previous show when I explained it, is that orgon concentrators do not distinguish between good and bad orgon. They'll just attract orgon, period. So if you are in a place where there's a lot of EMF, a lot of electromagnetic stuff, and there's a lot of stagnant, dead orgon, it'll get pulled into the concentrator because it is what it is. It's orgon. It's just that it's not healthy. That's why for those people that got involved with the orgonite, that was the big plus of the orgonite, that it pulses stagnant orgon back into its healthy state. If it weren't for the fact that they saturate and end up not working after a while. But initially, that was the purpose. That's why, for example, when Reich made his, in fact, you can see a couple of them in some museums, he made these orgon concentrators that were like a sauna bath cabinet where you can walk in and sit down and close the door. And, you know, they bring in orgon and they're beneficial to you because, they're increasing the amount of organs surrounding you. Okay, but if I were to take one of those cabinets and park it near a cell phone tower, I would have to slap a label on it calling it suicide booth because that poor cabinet is going to be pulling in all the stagnant organ that's normally found around cell phone towers.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But in this
here's the thing. If you were to line it or paint it with Shanghai paint, it's not an issue anymore, because that's what does the Shanghai do? It keeps transmuting. In fact, that's why I had I explained this to someone who wrote and asked me a question. And it's no fault of your own, because maybe you're not very familiar with the true significance of the term. I don't like it when you say Shanghai attenuates this or that, because here's the thing, and I use the word attenuate in lab settings, and you can look it up on dictionary.com. The true significance of attenuate is to lessen something, and Shanghai lessens nothing. In fact, when you put Shanghai on a cell phone, communication gets better. And if Shanghai did lessen something, people would detect it with their EMF meters. You know, they write to us complaining, oh, my meter's not detecting any change. I'm seeing the same amount of EMF. Exactly, because Shanghai is not a filter. It's not a shield. It will not change the intensity of a signal. It'll just make it clockwise. It'll make it beneficial. It'll make it biocompatible. That's why I don't like the use of the word attenuate, because it gives the wrong impression. And
well, with all due respect to wherever you got the definition that I know of attenuate is to change, not to lessen, to change.
Well, let me look it up. I'll put it on the chat, so that way we're on the same page.
Well, look it. Don't bother. Okay? Because it changes.
You guys crack me up.
It changes it. Okay? When I got into the Shanghai business, okay, all I heard was Shanghai blocks, Shanghai absorbs. And I said, no, it's not doing either of those. But that was because the people who were providing that information, it was because of translations. And it wasn't, I mean, I went through, I can't even find some of the documents I have now, because there's so many of them. I have probably thousands of Shanghai documents in my computer. And what I finally got was a Russian document, a scientific document, and an English translation, instead of maybe a German or a French, or German and French plus, you know, before you get the English. And the word that was used from whatever they said in Russian was attenuate. And that was the closest word to, because it was indicating from the Russian translation that it was a change in the signal. Something that is, it doesn't even necessarily mean beneficial, although it seems to be a connotation of beneficial.
But think about the people that are making these determinations and using terminology. They're not looking at the torsion field. They're not looking at the spin. Because up to this day that I'm aware of, there are no man-made instruments that detect the spin of the torsion field that is produced by an EMF source. That's why we get these complaints of people that buy EMF meters and different kind of meters, and they say, I see no change. Because your meter is not checking for the spin of that torsion field. So that's what word are they using? Well, they're finding the more adequate word they can find is attenuate, which is incorrect, because it means lessening, diminishing, tapering. And it doesn't, if it did that, meters would detect it. If Shanghai attenuated radio signals, like in a cell phone, immediately you would see the change in the meter. The signal would go, the amount of EMF would go down. And it doesn't. The communication gets even better than before.
Well, I'm going to continue to use the word attenuate as defined as changed. Okay, now if attenuate did not start out with that definition, I hereby declare that attenuate is defined as change. Oh, you make me crazy, Walt. You know why he makes me crazy?
I'm just giving you information.
Yeah, but see, Dolly, this is how this guy operates, okay? We've been in this since, what, 2014? I started using the word attenuated about the end of 2015, and it's taken him this long to say, oh, by the way, that's the wrong definition? He makes me crazy. He makes me crazy.
Now you know why I've held all these years, because I knew the big complaint I was going to get. So the big objection. So,
well, I'm Walter, I wouldn't have been objecting if you had told me at the time.
I mentioned
yes,
it one time, but
no, I would not have.
You would too.
I would not, because all I wanted was a word that would describe what I was seeing. And what I was seeing is that the electromagnetic fields were reversing their spin.
So they're being transmuted. The correct word is transmuting. It's changing something into something else, like transmuting gold, transmuting lead into gold.
No, because it's just a change of spin. It's not transmuting it. It's the same thing. And essentially, you could say you changed your perspective.
Well, you're transmuting it because one spin is life-depleting. I'm hurting you. The other spin is beneficial. So something.
So you're transmitting yourself.
Something.
Transmuting yourself.
Oh, well, whatever. You are 100% right, and forget anything I said.
And see, then he cops an attitude like this.
I wondered how long it takes.
Well, like I'm not justified. Okay. Not my show. It's Nancy's show. Oh, so, yeah.
I say you can both think of it the way you want to.
We have to explain
agree
it to people.
Agree to disagree.
No, we can't disagree. No. We're supposed to be talking the same thing. But, you know, it comes down to words. It comes down to, you know, perceptions of things. And this is where it gets fun. That's why I do love Walt, because all of a sudden you'll say, what? And I'm going like, wait a minute. You know? It does. Everything is always in a state of morphing. On top of the fact that we don't really have the vocabulary to explain a lot of the stuff that we see. You know, so you use, and plus the fact I understand English is kind of a backward language. Well, I still go back to the Russians. I said to them, well, you don't need good Russian, good English to make good Russian. And they started to belly laugh. It was like, oh, for heaven's sakes, no. We have a hard problem understanding what that language is. But
culture makes such an impact on the words you use and how you use them, because one of the big things for as an English is my second language person, one of the things that a lot of teachers should invest their time and effort when they're teaching someone English, for example, is make a point of discussing denotation and connotation of words. A lot of teachers don't get it. You have to explain that there is connotation to words. For example, everybody wants to be famous, right? I want to be famous, but nobody wants to be notorious. And if you look up those two words in the dictionary, famous and notorious, they have essentially the same root meaning, you know, to be popular, to be well-known. But the problem is notorious has the connotation of being popular for the wrong reasons. You know, Al Capone was notorious. You wouldn't say, you know, but Frank Sinatra was famous. He was well known because everybody loved his singing. So that's something that's hidden in language, the connotation of words. And if you choose the wrong words, you'll relay the wrong idea.
Well, now Frank Sinatra is notorious because of his mafia connections.
There you have it. So he had both things.
Anyway, I don't know how we get into these things. Dolly forced us into it. She needed to know the definition of attenuate. Okay, where were we when we started that? I don't even know. Oh, we were talking about kids and imagination and how people, you know. But this, okay, back to the copper thing. That's where we started. She had shungite inside the copper, in the container, in the water. So as the argon is being drawn into this, it's not allowed to go stagnant with the shungite. Would that be correct, Walt?
She's putting shungite in the water.
Yeah, she's got shungite nuggets in the copper container that's got.
Yeah,
the water.
There will be no negative argon storage because it'll be transmuted as soon as it hits the shungite. Shungite is going to change the spin of that energy. Because that's the beauty of shungite. It doesn't care what the energy is. It'll grab it and change it.
Okay, so the argon, when it goes stagnant, as you call it, it's actually the argon itself has been reversed to a negative spin?
No, it healthy organ, pure healthy organ that you would find out in nature, is not, how can I explain this? It's constantly pulsing like a heart. It doesn't just move like a water flow in a river that's flowing, and it doesn't stop and doesn't pause. It can flow more, it can flow less, but it's always flowing because it's going downstream. Organ doesn't do that. It actually does pulse. It has a pulse. There's a pulsing to the nature of healthy organ. What Reich discovered is that when he would expose healthy organ to an electromagnetic field, the first change he detected is that the organ would start to get overexcited. It would begin to swell, like in increase in volume, increase in intensity, and then it would just stop pulsing and just become dead, stagnant. And the thing was, is if it were inert and harmless, it would be okay. But it's neither inert nor harmless, because he found that when you're sitting in a field of stagnant organ, you get sick. That's why in office environments, back in the years when all the computers had and terminals had CRTs, a CRT is the cathode ray tube. That's what the letters mean. And it draws the image on the screen because it shoots beams of electron at the phosphorescent screen, drawing the images that you see and the text that you see. That's putting out an electron gun. So that's putting out a tremendous EMF field. And a lot of office workers, they would start their work in the morning. And it didn't matter if they had good night's sleep. Their eyes would begin burning. Some people would experience aches in their joints, or their nose passages would get dry, or their mouth would get dry, or they would get a headache. All of these symptoms are the results of sitting in a field of stagnant organ. So it's not a good thing to be doing that. So when the big organite movement started, and Don Croft started the gifting movement across the country, where people were dropping these tower busters near cell phone towers, a lot of people were bringing organite into their offices because they were sick of feeling, you know, all these symptoms because you're in a field of stagnant organ. So it's not something that you would want, to spend hours and hours in a field of stagnant organ. And that's, unfortunately, that's what you get with fluorescent lighting, because fluorescent lighting, it's a high-frequency signal that you're putting through the gas, making it produce light. That's putting on an EMF field, and enough hours of it will render the ambient organ stagnant. So,
interesting.
Beauties of technology, huh?
The organ, okay, because we talk about it, we talked about it last week too. One of the things that I think people have to get into their heads, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Walt, please, now, not in 5 years, is that when you got organ, well, let's go to the electricity. I was in the military, and I was taking, for the first time in my life, a course on electricity, you know. And so I said to the person that was trying to teach us, but what is it? And he said, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, what is it? And finally he got it after the sixth time. I was asking, what is electricity? Where does it come from? What's its source? Right? And he went, oh, well, nobody knows. And I was like, nobody knows the source of electricity, where it comes from. It's just there. And to me, this was like, wow, this is like a huge... Uh-oh.
What?
Well, Dolly's messaging us. Do you need to do something, Dolly?
No, I just talked to her. I talked to them. He's been having very bad issues.
All right, this is her son-in-law.
My daughter she talked him into going to the ER tonight. He's been having the symptoms I had when they took me. I ended up in the hospital emergency room, and and had 5 bypass surgery. And see, he's been exhibiting the symptoms that I had when I ended up with my emergency 5 bypass. So just the last day, it's been really bad, and he wouldn't go, and Sherry called me to let me know he's there. They're putting IVs in him right now, and she'll call me when she knows anything. So please keep him in your prayers. I love him very much.
How old is he?
Let's see. Sherry was born in 74. How old is that? They were born in 1974. 40-something.
So 45, he's a baby. He's too young to get any.
Yes, he's too young for that.
He's too young to get any chronic stuff. I bet you, I would bet money that he's been enduring a lot of stress lately.
Yeah, I feel it's stress related. I don't think he's got a major problem. Don't worry about it, Dolly.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to worry about that.
turn it over to your angels and in his, you know, but I feel like it's a stress thing, related thing. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm not getting any drama down the road with you. Is she going into a drama thing? No. Okay. So it's probably just stress, like Walt is saying, because Walt is a lot more, and he's getting more and more. We're all getting more and more open to, let's say, psychic phenomena. It's happening more and more.
Sure hope it turns out okay, but at least he's going to get a diagnosis and we can handle it.
Right. Knowing.
Rather than having what's been going on with him in front of our eyes. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, I'm okay, I'm okay. Oh, gee, I think I'm dead. Oh, no.
Yeah. And that's what I kept saying to the kids, it's just gas pains. And I went, as soon as I got in the hospital, they knocked my butt out. I was out for a long time, at least a week. And
well, except your excursion to the other side.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
she woke up in time to die.
Yeah. I did when I was on the table, yeah. But I forgot where I was going with it. Oh, well.
Oh, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know.
Oh, so you went into the hospital, they knocked you out, and the next thing you know, you're dying on the operating table, but you're not sure how you got there.
Right. Yeah. And then when I gained consciousness in this world, I, of course, had forgotten about my NDE, and I was hearing Sherry saying, "Mom, squeeze my hand." And I thought, what the fuck? I mean, what the heck? And so I squeezed my hand. I didn't know what was going on. And then next thing I knew was a day later, and they started to pull all the tubes out. Well, they pulled the tube out of my throat, but they left the other tubes in for a while. But I didn't want Shannon to get to that point. And something that happened just last night, and I'm not going into that because I'm not. And that's when I thought, oh my God, he's lucky to be alive. And so I tried to convince him, please, Shannon, at least call a doctor. Tell him it's important you get in this week. At least do that. So I was very grateful when Sherry called him. Yeah, and she said he's there in the hospital now getting checked out. And he went on his own accord. He didn't have to go by ambulance.
Well, may it all be, you know.
Just does he accept if you suggest nutrients and supplements, does he accept that, or he's one of these diehard pharmaceutical guys? He won't take anything that doesn't come out of the hands of a doctor. I'm asking the question because for the symptoms that you've described on him, the best thing for him to do is daily capsules of hawthorn berry. They sell it as in capsules or also as an extract. Hawthorn berry contains a substance that repairs the muscles in the heart.
I don't know if he'll do that. I don't know. Well, he likes to drink.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if he'll do that.
Pharmaceuticals are on their way out.
Yeah, they're all fake. It's all artificial crap. And the human body, at least last time I checked, is made by nature. It didn't come out of a... Well, I guess some bodies do come out of cloning tanks. As for those of us that were born naturally, you know, you put a natural stuff on it and it doesn't work. That's the thing. Remember in one of the previous shows I was commenting my opinion of the C60 that's made in labs, and I used the two examples. You know, artificial vitamin E does not get absorbed by the body. Artificial vitamin C does not produce a sunburst pattern on litmus paper. So artificial fullerenes, I'm sorry, they don't have what natural fullerenes have. It's man-made in a lab.
Yeah, it's an energy universe.
Yeah, most drugs are made in a lab.
Yeah, it's an energy universe, and if you discount the energies, then, you know, you're in a chemistry that is unnatural. I mean, the thing of it is that if you just look at what our reality is, just look at it, it's illogical. It doesn't make any sense.
I have to call my son right now. He's freaking out. I'll be right back. Well, right. I'll be back when I'm done talking to him.
Okay, bye. We're here. All right. Are you there, Walt?
I'm there. You have. Oh. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, dear. You know. Yeah, the pharmaceutical, I mean, like, who was it? My friend Peter, who grew up in Germany. Bayer is a German company, and they are so freaked out about the fact that Bayer, over the Germans, that Bayer has bought Monsanto.
Oh, yeah.
That they're actually in revolt against Bayer. Everybody says, you know, well, not everybody, but there's a big movement not to buy Bayer products. Because, you know, Monsanto has been, especially in Europe, has been, you know, presented as this totally evil company. And then beloved Bayer goes...
Imagine being the member of a synagogue, and one Saturday you show up for services, and the rabbi says, oh, allow me to present you the new president of our synagogue council, and out walks Adolf Hitler. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of like that. The more I look at just the reality that we're in, the more I go, this doesn't even make sense. I mean, it's ridiculous. When we come back at the top of the hour, because I don't think we have time. I do want to look at the question of the climate change and the carbon thing. There's been an interesting a development of that. But it's like everything that was presented to us as being, virtually everything, as being, you know, fact, now is like, no, that's not a fact anymore.
Yeah. In fact, the first time I read about the warming didn't even come from these so-called scientific papers, which are all bunk. First time I read it was from that material that was written back in the 70s, the Law of One books, where Ra spoke about not only the ascension of the earth and how humanity is transformed by where the earth is moving in space, but Ra was the first one who predicted, I guess, or forecasted that all the planets of the solar system would experience transformation, so that the warming up of the earth, it didn't mean that the earth is going to be so hot it will not sustain life anymore, and the poles are going to melt and everybody's going to drown in a super gigantic ocean. It doesn't mean that. The increase in the warmth is indicative of the energy increase in energy. And in fact, modern astronomy has verified the words of Ra as they were written down so many years ago, because every single planet from Mercury to what supposedly they changed the status of Pluto from planet to planetoid, all of them are manifesting changes in whatever passes for weather on their surface, because all of the planets have weather, whether you like it or not. Even the moon that supposedly is airless, it isn't. There is an extremely very thin layer of gas on the moon. It's so subtle, it doesn't even count as being there, but it's been detected by instruments. So every single planetary body in the solar system is experiencing major change. And I don't see factories on the moon spewing carbon into the almost airless moon or Mars or all the other, yet they're all manifesting changes because the sun is moving into a new area of space.
Well, it's in the proton, so-called proton belt, which is that... Yeah. Think of ourselves as being on the outside of the Milky Way galaxy. In other words, we're not in the interior, we're on the outer edges. And this whole galaxy is rotating around the sun. I mean, yes, around the center, the black hole in the center. So it's all rotating. And from point beginning to point start the second cycle around is about 26,000 years. So every time we get to the 13,000 mark or the 26,000 mark, you are lined up with the center of the galaxy where there's a black hole.
Got it. No, 25,000 years is not the rotation around the center of the galaxy. Rotation around the very center is millions of years. The rotation that's 25,000 years is the rotation of the sun around its sister star.
Really?
Think about the size of the galaxy. It takes several million years to go around the very center.
Wow, you're right.
The galaxy is around something like 100,000 light years across. So 25,000 years is a drop in the bucket.
Wow. So I think I know things, and then all of a sudden you do this to me. Oh, by the way, no, that's not right.
I spoke about it in a previous show about the astronomer who found the location of Nemesis, and I don't know why they covered up all that information.
Okay, so let's just run this by, okay, because... And when you said it to me the first time, I don't think we discussed it in this way, but now I see what you're saying. Because, okay, so what's happening is that you've got the sun that's moving around the outside of the galaxy. But then the sun itself is also rotating around this second sun.
Right, it's part of a binary star system, which is like 80% of them are all binary star systems.
So essentially you've got the sun doing a loop within the path of it going around the galaxy, correct?
Correct.
So this looping thing, because now this makes sense. That's why I always fought this equinox thing, because of the way that it was being presented. But now, to get it right, you have to assume that there is a second sun. The very fact that it exists indicates there's a second sun. Wouldn't that make sense?
Correct. And like I said, you know, there's so much corruption in all the sciences, you know, seeds of corruption and disinformation and hiding stuff, that it never made sense to me. What are they trying to avoid, or what are they trying to stop by hiding this information? And I remember it. You remember in the 70s, PBS, you know, Channel 13, when they would give these scientific shows and documentary shows. Remember, I think it's still a lot active today, that show Nova, that shows things about science.
Yes, it is.
And we were living in Manhattan at the time. I forget what day of the week it was, but I remember sitting in front of the TV and watching this show about astronomy. On Channel 13, Nova was showing astronomy, and the entire show was about this radio astrologer, an astrophysicist, who with his team working out of one of the universities was able to calculate with precision the location of the sun's sister star. And he named it, he dubbed it Nemesis. That's the name that he chose for it. And it went on to explain, you know, different things about it. And I thought, wow, this is so interesting. And then years later, I would read the book written by Sri Yukteswar, the teacher of Paramahansa Yogananda, when he talks about the yugas, the 24,000-year cycle, and that it happens because the Earth rotates around its sister star. So, coincidence? Well, no, not in Nancy's... In Nancy's reality, there's no coincidences.
No, it's you know, it's like I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe this, because now it clearly is... It answers so many questions. And why would they keep that from us? They don't want us to know there's a second sun? Why would they want us not to know that?
And the thing is that if you look at... the only reason I know this is because she spilled the beans in one of her books. There was this woman, Mary Alice Kemery, who wrote books on astrology under the pen name Linda Goodman. So if there are any people out there who do astrology or follow astrology, that name should be super familiar to them. She wrote the books Sun Signs and Star Signs. She wrote this super gigantic book that was like romantic poetry called Goober, with three O's as opposed to two O's. And in that book, I don't know if she ever got talking to by the Rosicrucian order. Because, you know, when you're a member of some secret society, you're not supposed to reveal their secret teachings or their secret doctrines, because it's secret. That's why the word secret is in front of it. But in this book, apparently she was an avid student of the Rosicrucians, and I don't know to what degree she got in her lessons or in her training and education. But in that book, Goovers, in the later chapters, she goes on to reveal a lot of stuff that's the source, the Rosicrucians. And one of the things that she shows, and I don't know how technically accurate this can be, because it's coming from a source that I'm not a Rosicrucian. I don't have the right to go knock on their door and say, oh, can I please take a look at this book? But in the book, she's saying outright that there was a time in very ancient past that the Earth had no nighttime, that there were two stars, but they were on opposite sides, and they would light up the two hemispheres of the Earth. So no one had knowledge of nighttime, because it was always daytime. It's just that they would rotate and they were always lighting the Earth. So I saw that and I thought, well, this sounds kind of weird, but I do know that there's another star that the sun rotates. So I don't know if maybe in a very ancient time the two stars were closer to each other, because orbits are not circular. You know, any astronomer worth his salt will tell you orbits are not a perfect disk. They're elliptical. There will be a point in the orbit when you're closest to a celestial body, and then there will be a point when you're farther away. That's why you have the words apogee and perigee to define these two points. So I don't know, maybe these two stars have a gigantic orbit, and there was a time in the ancient past when they were so close to each other that you could see it in the night sky.
I think that was Jupiter. I have this maybe. This feeling that Jupiter was actually a sun because of its, well...
its makeup?
Because of its makeup, but it was like they were going to send that I don't remember what they called it, but they were going to send this spacecraft from Earth into the center of Jupiter, and it had a plutonium nuclear plant in it. And I'm going, why would you possibly do this? You know, and I always think conspiracy. And I'm thinking, well, maybe this thing is, and all of a sudden I saw it burst into like a sun. And I'm going like, oh wow. And I'm thinking about the composition of it and everything. I'm going, could this possibly have been a sun that, I mean, because we see black dwarfs, and I mean, brown dwarfs and white dwarfs and all of the other, the red giant, all these versions, but this might be a version of a sun going out. And what do you end up with? A pile of gas. And, you know, and that would make sense for the concept of how, why would Mars be able to go to a point of having all sorts of vegetation and everything else on it so far from this, from solar, from the sun we know. And I thought, well, if there was this other one, then it would have.
Well,
you know.
But don't forget, Mars is missing more than half of its atmosphere.
I know.
If its atmosphere were complete, the atmosphere would accumulate a lot of heat from the sun.
That's true too. But, you know, anyway, it's the top of the hour. Dolly, you're okay here? You come back. We see you back.
Yes, I'm okay. He's where he needs to be. I'm okay. And the kids are all, they're all calmed down now, and so am I. If my kids are upset, so am I. They're all calmed down now, and I'm calmed down, and we'll just see what they find out.
Okay. All right, so let's do Gary Allen, Every Storm. We'll be right back.
I saw you standing in the middle of the thunder and lightning. I know you're feeling like you just can't win, but you're trying. It's hard to keep on keeping on when you're being pushed around. Don't even know which way is up. You just keep spinning down, round, down. Every storm runs out of rain, just like every dark night turns into day. Every heartache will fade away, just like every storm runs out of rain. Tell yourself that there's something more, and walk out that door. Go find a new rose. Don't be afraid of the thorns, 'cause we all have thorns. Just put your feet up to the edge, put your face in the wind. And when you fall back down, keep on remembering. Set you free.
And welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. It's May 14th, 2019. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Walt Silva and Dolly Howard. And before we get, I don't want to miss this, okay, Walt? We need to upgrade you. We need to inform you of the latest thing that came out of Oak Island this week or last week, okay?
Because
Okay, because when we left you last week, we had ended the series. All right, it was they shut down for the year, but just before they did, they had put in over 1,000 little dynamite charges and set them off in the swamp so that they could use the sound of the charge to map out what was underground
map of the whole place.
Right, yes. In the swamp, right? And so, lo and behold, they came back with another episode of the show. And in the first part of it, they got the people who had done this, because they said at the time, they said it would be 2 months of data pressing. And, you know, we talked about that. So they finally had gotten the data all done and they given their report. And they have this little building where they, it's like the command center, you know. So all of the team, the various characters in the show, are sitting around the table. And with them at this table, no, it wasn't. They were in Michigan. It wasn't on Oak Island. They were in Michigan.
Maddie wasn't with them.
Right, right, right. So they were way away from Oak Island because it was 2 months after, so they're in the middle of winter. And but this group of people, and there must have been four of them, I think, from this company that were there, at least three, but I think there were four. And they're sitting there, and so they start showing the images of what they saw in the swamp. And they're taking kind of like, you know, doing a layer thing, you know, and finally they get to the layer that really shows what you're supposed to be seeing. And
with the anticipation building.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was really good the way they did it. And so all of a sudden you see this picture, and the guy that's presenting the information is saying, and this looks like something is here, and he's indicating it. And everybody, including me, were like,
and me.
Well, damn, that looks like a ship on its side.
Yeah. You know?
Oh.
Okay? And so Marty goes, finally after some silence, and everybody, the expressions on these people's faces was so classic.
Priceless.
I mean, it was like, yeah. Oh, my God. Because, see, all through the years of this, they have said one thing, just one thing that'll prove what, you know, that there is something here, right? And, like, they're all looking at this thing, and I was looking at it, and I bet you were, Dolly, going, that's the one thing.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Well, does this also confirm what you guys were saying, that the swamp is man-made?
Well, probably, but because, like, Marty, he says, okay, let's put it on the table here. That looks like a ship. And the people who are presenting the information are going, we're not saying that. We're just telling you it's a boy. Or there's something there. Something's different, you know.
And they were all excited.
Oh, my God, you know.
And the guy said, if you don't go there and dig, we will. The one who did the test.
Yeah. And it's not that far down, Walt. So, yes. Obviously, Fred Nolan, the guy that said, I think it was that the two islands were separated and that they filled it in and they made an artificial swamp and they sunk a treasure vessel down there. That's what Fred Nolan kept telling people. And, you know, he died last year. And so, but it looks like Fred Nolan was dead on the money because this looks like a ship on its side and a big ship on its side.
Yes.
For the time.
So at the end of the show, how did they leave it? What's their next plan of action?
Well, I suspect. Okay, now think about the timing. This was done 2 months after they stopped. Okay, so conceivably, they could already have done what they're going to do, which is to get out there and go down and find out what this thing is.
Oh.
You know, so
because they tape it in the summer.
Yeah, they tape
and
it.
We're
in the
already there.
And we're already in the spring. They could have already gotten back there and done whatever they're going to do. And I just imagine right now that this island is probably got a fence around it of guards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because as soon as they released this to the public, everybody in the world knew. Oh my gosh, there it is, and it's
was it always private property, or at one time it was open to tourists visiting?
Well, there's tourists that are visiting now, but it was. It was private property, and the lots are all very the same lots. But my understanding, based on what something Marty said a couple of episodes ago, he said when we bought the island, we decided to buy the island, and so my understanding is that they essentially have all the rights to the island. But they have to deal with the government all the time. They have to have permits for everything they do. So, but yes, there's a ship on its side, at least the way I saw it. And it's not very far down. It's like what?
No. Yards. It's yards down. I can't remember. I'm thinking
So now they have to keep their fingers crossed that it's not booby-trapped, that it won't blow up in their faces if they touch it?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Well, I didn't think of that either.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know how tricky these Templars were. They seem to put booby traps everywhere. Can't open this door. You can't move those logs. You can't touch this thing. I mean, for heavens to Betsy, you guys have tried even remote viewing this. And nope, can't do that. So don't put it past them to do something with that stupid ship.
Personally, I don't think there's treasure on the ship. I don't see any treasure on the ship. I think that the ship brought the treasure, and then they got rid of the ship.
But why would they have to get rid of the ship?
I don't know. Maybe it was broken.
And why would they do it there in the swamp?
Well, all those are very interesting. I don't know.
Well, by rules of conspiracy, if you do that, it's because you're hiding evidence, whether it's evidence of information or getting rid of the people that know too much, like the old Egyptians used to do, where they would bury all the slaves with whoever was being buried, so that there wouldn't be any information as to where the tomb is. So you do that kind of stuff to hide evidence or hide information, or I don't know.
But why would they need to hide the ship?
Well, maybe it's full of skeletons.
Yeah.
That could be.
Let's make the people that know disappear so that nobody will reveal the secret of the curse of Oak Island. Let's get rid of everyone that knows.
I mean, because think of it. Back in those days, if you sunk a ship, you'd have to, how would you get down there to be able to work to get anything out of it? You know, it's like, well, okay, you just sunk this sucker. It's underwater. How are you going to get it? They didn't have scuba gear.
That was a one-way trip. Nobody was planning to get anything out of it.
But it's so shallow. Somebody could dive down there, I would think.
Yeah, but think about diving down without any kind of scuba gear or even the old, pipe with the air in it. Unless they had this stuff and nobody's managed to find out that they did for all these centuries. But that, you know, you'd have to go and try to get the... How long can you hold your breath to get out the treasure? You know, even if it's down deep enough so that, you know, it's down there. I don't remember exactly what they said because it was kind of lost in my stunned... My mouth was hanging open. I'm going, like, oh, my God, there is a ship there.
I had a brain freeze for a while. Oh, my gosh, there's a ship. There it is.
Yeah. So I did want to make sure that we covered that and didn't forget to tell you guys that, there is a ship in the swamp. Huh.
Now, when we started out and I had mentioned about you and all the... how the shungite is spread around now. You got it all over the place and the crazy people. I wanted to say, I wanted to tell people how I first, when I first came into contact with you, I want to tell them what I thought.
Oh, this will be interesting.
I kept hearing Nancy and JP talking about this freaking Shungite. Shungite this, Shungite that, Shungite, Shungite, Shungite. I was so sick of hearing about Shungite. And I said, I was telling my kids, you should hear this crazy Shungite woman. Just that's all she talks about. That's all she lives for. Shungite, Shungite, Shungite. And then I got introduced personally, up close and personal, to Shungite. And I turned into a crazy Shungite woman. And my kids started calling me the crazy Shungite woman. But then Colleen had said, oh, Nancy wants to talk to you, so here's her phone number. And so somehow, I can't remember what happened after that, Nancy. Did I call you? Is that how we ended up together?
I don't remember a phone call. I remember talking to you on Skype with her.
Oh, maybe that's it. So now this crazy Shungite woman has introduced the world, I mean the world, to Shungite. And I'm so proud of her.
Well, that's just because now you don't feel like people can call you crazy. Everybody else is. They all got Shungite. You actually bought Shungite on your own before you knew me. You were one of our first customers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember it.
I don't remember.
Well, you wouldn't have. You know, I mean, one of our first, you know, you were within the first 1,000 that bought. Actually, I think you were probably more in the first, I'd say 500 people that bought from the store. It was you.
Oh, wow. Good for me.
Good for you. So, yes. And then your family, we were talking about that at the Say What show, that Annette ended up being a host on the station for a while.
Yeah. She did. She had to go into the chat room to see if I was being influenced by a cult. Every and then time I think of it, it cracks me up.
And then in the chat room, Walt, she would be so derogatory. And she'd say some really, like, you know, I mean, she would piss me off. But she's calling herself Dolly's daughter. So I'm supposed to attack Dolly's daughter? I don't think so. I'd have Dolly all over me. So, you know. And finally, somebody in the chat said, well, Annette, if you feel this way, why don't you just get on the radio show and talk to Nancy? Remember that? That's how she got on. It was a challenge from the chat room.
Yeah, it was. She did.
So I said, well, yes, come on, Annette. And I'm thinking, oh, this will be interesting, right? And by the end of it, she's going to be a host on the radio station.
But she couldn't pursue it for long, though.
She gets bored.
Yeah, she does.
She had her own show for a while.
And she got bored of that.
Yep. Well, you know, I mean, obviously we repeat a lot of our stories, but we still have people that listen to us, like, you know, on a fairly regular basis. So what is it that keeps us going? I mean, we have the ability to talk about nothing and make it sound interesting. It's a gift.
By the way, everyone, that's a plug for the Say What show.
Oh, or this one too, I'll tell you. We have fun on the Say What show. Oh,
we do.
Annie Evedisian, she was on last week, Walt. And she's the one that plays the, why can't I remember this? It's a war game.
It's a war game, yeah. I can't remember
World
it either.
Of War? World of War?
Oh, you mean World of Warcraft.
Yes, that thing.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make sense. That's why I can't remember. World of Warcraft. Anyway, so she's been playing this virtual game, and she has been a shaman in the virtual game. Apparently, she's got all sorts of different personalities that she plays with, but she goes in there, she plays. Yeah. And she goes in there and she plays a character, and hopefully as she's playing the character, one of the other people will side whisper to her. And they get into a one-on-one, real 3D reality, you know, answering questions, not playing the game. And so I said to her, well, can you put in, you know, can you sell shungite while you're in there? And she said, oh no, they make sure that there's not any, you know, kind of people out there that are trying to promote a product or something like that. They do watch that, she said. And I said, oh, bummer, you know, because I'd go in there and try to sell. I mean, if I got to get it to the masses, I'll get it to the virtual masses too, you know. So she said, no. Well, she had to try. So she made up a character called Shungite that's like this gnome. I'll send you a picture of him and put it in chat, or maybe. But it's his character. It's on the promo for Say What from last week. And his name is Shungite. And she says that she just kind of introduced him. And sure enough, she's out there playing the game and somebody comes over and whispers at her, my wife has one of your pendants. Does it really work? Is there really something to it? And so she's like, yes. And you go, and she gives them the website, right? The store. And I said,
In their whisper.
In their whispering, right. And I said, Ani, I said, don't give them the store, per se, which is cosmicreality.net. Give them cosmicreality.com, where the store doesn't exist, but you can get there to it, but it's only information. And she went, ah. So we are in the virtual world out there, you know. Promoting, well, actually, what have we said? You know, Gaia brings the gifts, the customers, and Shungite sells itself. And in the virtual game, they just see the word Shungite, and all of a sudden, it's like, you know, what is this really about? But I think it's so much fun. I'd probably get bored. I don't think I'd either get absolutely lost.
I wouldn't be able
lost.
To keep up.
I'd get absolutely lost, or not. I'd get bored.
Yeah.
I don't like games. Well, except the game of life.
And that's always interesting.
So, I suppose we should let him talk about Fulford. Because now what is Fulford doing, Walt? What was he?
Because
he seemed to trend with Fulford, right?
Yeah.
He must be watching, listening to our show.
He trends with us.
Yeah, he trends with us. So you want to read? You want to do it?
Sure. The title of the report is Chinese Threat to Dump U.S. Treasuries is Elephant in Room of U.S.-China Trade War. And he's saying that this U.S.-China trade war is actually like a distraction because something else is what's actually happening behind the curtain. So since you are up to your politics, you'll be able to fill in whatever he's not saying or I'm not saying. Okay. The U.S.-Chinese trade war that took most pundits by surprise is actually the result of an agreement between Eastern and Western secret societies to permanently rid the world of the Zionist menace, multiple sources agree. The other thing to note is that Western, especially American media, are ignoring the trade war elephant in the room. The threat by China and the rest of the world to dump U.S. Treasury holdings and thus formally bankrupt the U.S. corporation. Let's step back a minute and look at why the world wants to bankrupt the corporate U.S. government and force a regime change there. Ever since George Bush's junior's handlers stole the election in the year 2000 and staged 9/11, the Zionist, in parentheses, Hazarian mafia-controlled U.S. regime has spent trillions of dollars on never-ending war. The same regime and its evil twin, Israel, have created terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda and Daesh to perpetuate this war. The same regime has been actively trying to kill 90% of the world's population with bioweapons, starvation, nuclear war, and now 5G microwave technology. The latest sign of how antisocial this regime is came last week when 187 countries, with the sole exception of the U.S., agreed to stop dumping toxic plastic into the oceans. The Chinese used to support this endless warmongering and murder by buying U.S. Treasury bonds until they realized they were paying the Americans to kill them. They thus decided to take their dollars elsewhere and spend them on helping the planet. And the multi-trillion dollar Belt and Road Initiative is an example. Now, suddenly, the Zionist controllers of the Washington, D.C. regime are realizing their $800 billion per year trade deficit and U.S. trillion dollar per year budget deficit are endangering the survival of their regime. The budget deficit is being covered up by accounting tricks, such as the Feds using proxies to buy their own bonds. But the trade deficit is another matter. It is based on real stuff in the real world and cannot be covered up with accounting tricks forever. As the saying goes, you can avoid reality for a certain amount of time, but eventually it has a way of catching up with you. In an attempt to fix the problem, U.S. President Donald Trump asked the Chinese to buy $1 trillion worth of American stuff. The Chinese rationally responded that the U.S. does not have that amount of stuff to sell, even if they wanted to. Now, the Trump plan to use tariffs to fix the trade deficit is going to be a tax on U.S. consumers and will not help the U.S. economy become competitive. That's because the U.S. dollar, the so-called U.S. dollar, is too expensive. But the Americans cannot devalue it in order to make their exports competitive because, in quotes, the U.S. dollar is not an American currency. It is owned by European and Asian royals together with international oligarchs who do not want it to lose value. On the other hand, if the U.S. government started issuing its own currency, say worth half what a U.S. dollar is now worth, U.S. consumers would still pay more for Chinese imports just as they would with tariffs. But this time, U.S. exports would be competitive. The U.S. government could then spend as many trillions of, let's say, greenbacks as it wanted in order to fix its domestic infrastructure, etc. The main drawback is that the U.S. military could no longer afford to be guarding corporate interests at its 800 or so locations around the world. That's why the White Dragon Society, Asian secret societies, the British Commonwealth, and others are proposing an alternative. This would involve replacing the entire political structure in Washington, D.C. with competent new people. The current system is so corrupt with its fake elections and bribed and blackmailed politicians that it is beyond reform. However, the U.S. is full of competent and honest people who ran into a glass ceiling in the current system because they were immune to Zionist bribery and blackmail. These are the people who would rebuild a debt-free republic of the United States of America. In such a scenario, the multipolar world would pool its resources to transform the U.S. military-industrial complex into a benevolent force for planetary protection and space exploration. Okay, now let's finally get to the breaking news of the past week. The biggest news from last week is that newly installed Japanese Emperor Naruhito issued coded calls for help, according to British royal family sources. The cry for help was conveyed through neuro-linguistic programming in a brief speech the emperor made, the sources say. He used a certain combination of words written in a certain style and embedded with wordings and other devices to let the world know the imperial family was being attacked, the sources say. The attacks were carried out by Japanese gangsters subcontracting for David Rockefeller Jr. and the French branch of the Rothschild family, according to Japanese right-wing sources close to the emperor. Special forces are now hunting these gangsters down, the White Dragon Society sources say. the death of Italian intelligence agent, 50-year-old Massimo I, who was found lying in a pool of his own blood and vomit in Paris last week, was also part of the secret war on the Zionists, P2 Freemasons sources say. Cohen family mercenaries working for members of the Rothschild family closest to the cabal hired the renegade Italian secret service agent in a conspiracy against German banks, they say. These people think hatred and war can prevent them from losing their faltering financial economy, they added. The P2 didn't directly take responsibility for Massimo's death, though. There are also signs the U.S. regime is planning to put pressure on China by fomenting trouble in Thailand, Indonesia, and Laos, according to Asian secret society sources. One source says the police in Indonesia have already handed live bullets from military storehouses for security purposes in preparation for May the 22nd, when results of the Indonesian presidential election are expected to be formally announced. The sources say similar trouble will brew in Thailand and Laos as well due to disputed elections. The White Dragon Society has advised the CIA that trying to stage color revolutions in Southeast Asia would backfire even more than they did in Venezuela, Iran, and Turkey. Pentagon sources warned that after the failed coup in Venezuela and opposition to military intervention, Trump may have no choice but to fire neocons John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, and Mike Pompeo. Also, the devastating armyworm pest could soon affect important Chinese staples such as rice, soybeans, and corn, a new U.S. government report said last week. The voracious inch-long fall armyworm can breed rapidly, spread great distances, and is hugely difficult to eradicate, the report says. The report adds the armyworm has already devastated agricultural produce across Africa and the Americas, where it originated, and has now begun to march across Asia. The timing of this outbreak, or the false fear-mongering report about it, makes it look suspiciously like an attack on China's food supply related to the trade war. There was also a false flag attack on the United Arab Emirates last week that the Mossad-linked site Debka was quick to blame on Iran, even though the attack was carried out by aircraft with French and U.S. markings. This obviously Israeli false flag attack on Saudi Arabian oil tankers is almost certainly retaliation for a recent Saudi pivot away from the Zionists and toward China. Meanwhile, in the U.S., patriots are intensifying their fight to liberate their country from Hazarian Zionist rule. Here's what our Pentagon sources had to say about the fight. After two lost years with Mueller and giving Zionists enough rope to hang themselves, former White House Chief of Staff Marine General John Kelly finally added gravitas to the recent anti-Zionist New York Times cartoon and declared war on Israel by publicly saying Trump's family, and in parentheses, Javanka, needs to be dealt with, the source says. This also implies Sheldon Adelson and all unregistered foreign agents of Israel. In another anti-Zionist developments, the shyster Israeli drug company Teva is being sued by 44 states for the price fixing of generic drugs, with the Department of Justice lurking in the background, the Pentagon sources note. Furthermore, the House snubbed Israel by not passing the AIPAC-drafted $38 billion military aid package that also criminalizes free speech. The source note. In a further sign, the Zionists are losing control, the sources noted that Congress also invited BDS, meaning boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel, and Palestine supporter Imam Omar Suleiman to deliver the opening prayer on May 9th, while House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said such moves did not mean the Democratic Party-controlled House was anti-Semitic. The military-industrial complex is also under assault, the sources note. The U.S. Air Force has commandeered the Boeing 737 investigations because the FAA and Boeing have lost the trust of the flying public, the sources say. Lockheed Martin, meanwhile, is reeling from F-35 problems, they add. Boeing is subject to death by 1,000 cuts, with drip-drip media reports, global regulators, whistleblowers, shareholders, investigators, prosecutors, customers, pilots, flight attendants, passengers, NASA, and the U.S. military weighing in, they elaborate. The fight against Zionist extortion, hypocrisy, and crime is also raging in Poland, as locals fight for truth about how Polish Christians suffered as much as Jews during World War II. And that's all he wrote. Back to you, ladies.
He ended it kind of abruptly. I used to watch the politics and all this stuff, and when I saw that they were having this trade war, I actually was listening to the president give a speech about it. It's almost like he was acting, you know. but because he was not, because he was not presenting a truthful final word on it. He kept saying everything is fine, everything is fine, and then he'd, you know, say, but you got this and I got that and da da da, you know, indicating that there was this. Well, what he was saying was that we had this agreement, and now the Chinese are trying to change the agreement, and I'm just not going to have any of that. So we're not going to do that. So, you know, you've got until, you know, 12 hours from now to agree to whatever he was wanting them to agree with. And it was just, I really, really liked the way he was presenting whatever he was presenting, because I never did. I don't know what happened. I just happened to stumble on him while he was doing a live speech. But what I was impressed with is that it was almost like he was just acting out a scene. And this is this and this is that. So you always know that whoever's out there on mainstream media, even if it's somebody that is basically telling you, don't worry, you know, we got this on, that the backstory is so convoluted that you wouldn't understand it even if they tried to explain it, if they could. Because at every layer, there's another layer. So, you know, God bless them. I just think that, you know, we've got to look beyond anything that's being said by anybody. I think it's all drama, and we've got to walk away from all of it, because it's just getting so much.
Well, the thing is that the proverb has never been more applicable than now. Knowledge is power. And how do you hold on to the power? Well, tell people as little as possible.
Yeah, because, yeah, knowledge is power. Don't let anybody know it. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Unfortunately, probably very true. So, Dolly, you saw the, I guess it was live, debate or discussion about 5G by the Congress people, correct?
Yes.
And I found it very interesting what you were saying regarding what you were seeing being presented as the news in Congress, looking at it while it happened, and the live presentation on YouTube where you were able to listen to look at the comments too. Can you just tell the audience what you told me, what you observed?
Well, the Congress people and these other people, I don't know who they were, whoever they were all for 5G. Oh, yeah, let's get that out right now. But Congress was more asking more about the financial part of it. How much money will we get? How much money does that cost? What else is Huawei doing? But they never got to, it's going to kill everybody. They didn't touch on that. No. But the people in the chat that were beside the YouTube thing and the chat was going live, every single one of them was saying 5G is a killer, 5G is a weapon, 5G is no good for us, 5G has caused cancer here where I live, 5G has caused cancer in this city. And they were testifying against 5G. They were wondering why is our Congress pushing it so much. Well, they were listening to it because of the money. Somehow there's a big amount of money involved in that sucker. And that's all the Congress is concerned with. They're so stupid they can't understand that if 5G kills us and everything in its path, the animals, everything, even the bugs that I don't kill, it's going to kill them too. They don't. They're that stupid. They don't get it. And so that's all I learned.
Well, but that's also very significant what you said, because what you described tells me that because power is in the people, in the public, not in these government clowns. The people are waking up to the fact of what this is.
Oh yeah.
You know, the clowns definitely can say whatever they want to say. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're like the grinder's monkey. They're just dancing for the money. But what's really important is that the people are awake to the truth of what this is. And that's where the power is. The power is with the people. I hope they never forget that.
Yes. And it wasn't, well, it was actually a couple of years, well, when I said there's a line in the sand, you know, that this 5G is going to force people to make a decision. And inevitably, once you understand the evidence, there is no question in your mind what the decision is. Now, to give you an example, I don't know how many people have seen this, because you won't see it in mainstream media, but there was a, it's in South Korea, okay? And they had a, well, let me just read this, okay? The five cities that began burning in South Korea the day 5G was switched on. And it's a map of showing these five cities. And these five cities were considerably apart from each other. It's not like they're on top. It's five cities. We're not talking about five areas of a given location. This is five cities in South Korea. Okay? The five cities that began burning in South Korea the day 5G was switched on. That's what we're looking at. Started at one transformer. Odd that one transformer would start five fires in five different cities. Arcing much? Trees standing, buildings burning, look familiar? California? Didn't hear about that in the news, did you? And this happened, back in April, I think it was. And we're only hearing about it now. But even though they try to cover up these things, it comes apart. Now, can anybody prove that this actually is what was being presented? At this point in the game, you really have to feel, does it resonate as true? You know, and it resonates as true to me. You know, that this is exactly what happens. You turn 5G on, they did it in The Hague. And birds, hundreds and hundreds of birds fell out of the trees dead. The animals, the dogs in the park started running. The ducks started to try to dive down under the water like they were trying to get away from something. Okay? The only thing that could do that is a 5G signal, because all of the symptoms are you feel like your skin is burning up. And in the case of the birds, they didn't even have time to feel anything. They just were killed immediately. Boom. And you know, it immediately came out, well, they're doing a 5G test here, you know. And all of a sudden, no, we're not. Oh, no, we didn't turn it on. No, we didn't do that. I mean, like, they're so insanely obvious when you start to look at the information. And that's where it I guess that that concept of the line in the sand, nobody can bullshit you on this. There's nobody on the other side that will tell you 5G is safe. And we're seeing these nightmare scenarios where they turn it on and fire. And I mean, you see the pictures, and this is considerable amount of fire. You know, I wish I could find more on it. I haven't actually looked because it was, again, I get these things and then something else comes up. But
should have gone into the dark web.
Hey, yeah. Will you go do that and then report back?
Yeah, I'll try it tomorrow. See what the searches show up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going to just put your name here so you'll see a call out in your notifications that this is the one I'm talking about. You can see it. So in your Facebook notification, you'll see I called you out. It's that on that fire. To me, it's just fascinating. It's like, oh my God, because this is an untested system, and they want to turn it on. Whoops, we just burned down 5 cities. Oh, whoops, you know. Oh, we killed all the birds in the park. Oh, we'll probably get cancer to everybody else and all the animals too. But hey, you know, technology. We're in a technological fascist system. And it definitely needs to change. So I was just, when you told me that about the chat room, Dolly, I was just like, oh wow, that is so cool.
Because yeah, I was hoping that you would see that I had put that in there and go there and see the chat room. But, I did,
but I didn't have time to look at it when you gave it to me. And, but I probably wouldn't. I never read those chats, so I probably wouldn't have picked up on it. So I appreciate you pointing that out. It's anyway. So what else? Anything happened that you want either of you want to touch on? Did you see Derek on his Facebook on the hour that he spent on Facebook last night?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it.
Well, we set out an event notification that he was going to do this to see if we could pull some people in because he wanted to get on video and show different things about the bees because we've started a new season. And it really went well. He does good, you know, I mean. But he had the bees up there in their little case so you could look at them while it was happening, while he was talking and stuff. And Walt, I've got this actually. Let me put this into, what am I on? Skype, there thing. I'm going to show you something and then I'll try to get it over into the other place. He showed me this on film, because before we got involved in it, we were just checking out and seeing what, you know, making sure that he was had good lighting and all that sort of thing. And as we were doing it, we got, oh, he has a hot tub right behind him. And, oh, sure, I can't find this sucker. Where is it?
Are you looking for a photo or a video?
I'm looking for a photo. Oh, I'm in the Save What show, not the Shungite show. That's the problem.
Big difference.
Big difference. Okay. And so I took a picture of him as he shows me this on the screen. And if I can find it, where is it? Oh, for heaven's sakes. Because I have it. It's actually been posted in the... Oh, here it is. Okay. All right. There. All right. I'm going to give you that. And then I'm going to do it into the chat room, too. But this is a picture of him with a sphere that had been in, I think you probably saw it, maybe Dolly already. It was a sphere that had been in the hot tub. And it was a perfectly solid sphere of Shungite. And then he pulls it out not too long ago, and he's like looking at it and he's going, oh my heavenly day, look at what happened here. And what had happened is that the Shungite now had little crystals of pyrite all over it. Okay. Now, can you? If you did you get? Did I actually send that to you, or is it still stuck? No. See, if you don't,
it's in the chat room.
I know, but if I don't hit that thing on Skype, it's another one of their little thingies, you know?
Oh,
looks like he's holding a little planet.
Yes, and
yeah,
look,
it does.
Look very, very closely at the pyrite and what's happening to the shungite behind it. This was a solid black. You've seen these spheres of shungite. And the only thing that was there was the shungite was in a hot tub that was at 120 degrees or whatever, and that it's surrounded by shungite bees and all this other stuff. But the pyrite is actually growing out of the shungite.
Yeah, I've seen this with the one of the bricks you sent me. I have it in the water and the tray that I have outside for the ducks and the birds. And over time, the water interacts with the pyrite. In fact, remember there was one time a photo that... Stephanie Dietz took of a brick that had been sitting in a pool, and all of a sudden it broke in half. On both faces of the broken halves where they had been put together, it was all, you know, full of pyrite crystals. The water had, you know, interacted with the pyrite.
Well, this doesn't look like what I saw with the Stephanie situation, because what had happened is that the pyrite, enough water had been able to seep in there into the pyrite. I don't know what happened actually, because it just broke in half. But it seemed it seemed like it was the pyrite growing inside of the shungite that was causing, you know, that was inside the shungite. This is definitely on the outside of the shungite. It's not a protrusion from pyrite that's inside. It's very interesting. But another thing, you know, with shungite, it's like, it's always doing these very amazing, and I can do this too, kind of tricks, you know? But yours.
Well, what minerals, I don't know, in the part of the country where he's living, in his town, what is the hardness of the water? What
That's
minerals
exactly
are
what,
naturally?
That exactly.
Because with the energy interaction, there's an electrolytic work. When you're in touch with water, just because you're in water doesn't mean there's no electricity. On the contrary, there's a lot of electricity in water, so you could have an electrolytic interaction between the dissolved solids in the water and the shungite, and you could end up, you know, depositing stuff on it.
I asked him the same question. What do you happen to know the mineral content of your water? And he didn't specifically. But again, it still shouldn't. I mean, by known science, you know, these things aren't really explainable, because, and maybe it happens all the time, but nobody ever notices it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we know that silver loves shungite, and it picks it up like a sponge, so that doesn't stop it from interacting with other minerals.
Oh, that's the other thing that happened. Talking about, you know, kind of making a mistake that turns out to be something that you was no mistake. He was tumbling to make cosmic shungite pendants and rocks. So he's got all this silver in the tumbler along with the shungite. And we found that it takes 3 days before you get the structuring within the molecular, so that you've got, you know, now a structured molecule, which is part of this particular process. So he's tumbling it, and he forgot about it. Now, he made it kind of sound like he thought maybe he would do, no, he forgot about it. And it went for 6 days. So when he finally gets the nuggets out of there, it's truly a step up in energy, Walt. We'll send you a piece of this one. I haven't even gotten it yet, but I could, you know, tune into the energy, and it's just like, so apparently there is not a limit of how much of the silver can actually be, you know, accepted by the shungite. It just you keep pounding it, it's just keeping getting more and more saturated with the silver.
Well, remember the matter is mostly, it's more than 90% empty space, so there's plenty of space for it to
exactly
for stuff to go into it.
Exactly. So
well,
those
brings to mind my Mr. Turtle. He gets bubbles on him, little tiny bubbles. What causes that?
Well, that's the irregularities in the surface, because whenever there's gases in dissolution in a liquid, like if you put rocks or anything that has an irregular surface, even if it's minute imperfections in the surface, it's going to the gas is going to precipitate into that imperfection. It's like when my father used to work in a fancy restaurant in New York, after all the glassware was put through the dishwasher once a week. I don't know if they were employees of the restaurant or they were state employees. Inspectors would come in to make sure that everything was working correctly. So to make sure that the glasses were properly cleaned, they would put club soda in the glasses. If there were no bubbles, the glass was perfectly clean. If it started creating bubbles on the surface of the glass, inner surface obviously, then the glass was dirty. That means that there were still impurities, you know, crap on the glass. That's where the gases were precipitating.
Well, what's the gas in her pool that's causing that?
Yeah, really.
Oxygen.
And why is that there?
Well, I think the turtle, well, she asked the turtle.
Well, that's what we're getting to.
So the turtle is putting, you know, sending out the essence of oxygen. There you have it.
Exactly. See, that's
plus, we don't know how gassy Dolly is when she's swimming.
I'm not handling that, Dolly. You go for him.
I'm just picturing myself puttering around farting.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't do that, but he just brought that picture to my mind.
The only thing I'm sure of is that this show didn't end 2 minutes ago.
Leave it to Walt.
But the reality is that the oxygen is being created by the shungite turtle. That then it becomes, you can see it as bubbles because of the effect that you were talking about. But, I mean, the reason that you see it sometimes, Dolly, and not other times, I mean, you don't see it all the time, do you?
Correct.
Right. Is that...
Well, if the water gets cool, you won't see it. Because that's the difference... it's the difference between solids and gases. You know, when you have water, and let's say you want to dissolve a lot of salt, you have to heat up the water. The hotter the water is, the more salt that you can dissolve in the water. Gases behave the opposite way. In order to put a lot of gas inside water, you have to make it as cold as possible without freezing it. The colder the water, the more gas it would contain. So chances are, you see less bubbles if the temperature of the water goes down.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, we're thankfully... we're at the end of the...
Thankfully?
Thankfully, that means she's been suffering the whole show.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm looking and I'm going like I have to take attenuate out of everything that I've ever written. I'm telling you, it means change. Just think of it that way, change. If I can, I'm going to change the definition. You wait and you see. You guys won't even remember this conversation, but it'll be on tape. And someday.
Well, I don't know. I won't.
Well, the thing is, it's not your fault. It's just the translation that was done at the time where they were actually, I don't blame them. They were just looking for a word that would fit what they're seeing. And they just didn't know how to label it correctly, that they're seeing the change in the torsion field. So it's as good a word as any. It's nobody's fault. It's just scientists trying to find a way to express what they're seeing.
I didn't say that I was at fault. No. You're at fault. You should have told me this 5 years ago.
Have you
tried? Gosh, she's never going to let this go.
Oh, yeah. Once the you can take the girl out of the military, but you can't take the military out of the girl.
I said that to Derek. We had to deal with something we didn't want to deal with, you know. And I said, listen, let's just get into our military persona, you know, and go in there like you would deal with somebody in the military. And he said, yeah, that sounds right. You know, it's like, you just fall back on your training. This is how you behave, you know. But we didn't actually, it turned out to be a nothing thing. But, you know, you have to be prepared.
Be always ready.
Be ready. All right, we're ready to leave here. Thank you, guys. It's been fun. It really has. And
good night, everybody.
Yeah, Dolly. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with your health drama there. But I'm seeing it as stress, and they're telling me he has to, you know, chill out.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go talk to Annette, and because she just got home from working, and we'll probably text Sherry.
Yeah. Thank you, Walt. Thank you, Dolly. We're out of here. Be safe, everybody. Oh, wait a minute now. Sure. I've got this all taken care of, don't I? Here we go.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Preaching the unknown, unknown, unknown.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for listening.
Choose your heart.